get the honor of reading from Matthew 7, so read with me. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eyes and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then churn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find it. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Or if he asks, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, not as their teachers of the law.
Wow. As you can see, there's a lot there that I have to go through. But again, I'm just going to highlight some of the things to point out what I believe God has on my heart for you. So as I said, verse 1 and 2, that's a whole sermon right there. So I'm really going to sum this up. What does it say? Don't judge one another lest you be judged yourself. In the same manner you'll be judged. That is judging someone. That is making a decision. That's using your discernment and condemning somebody. That condemnation is God's job, not ours. So God said, Jesus himself says, you know, in Luke 12:57, judge for yourselves what's right. There are ways to judge. As I said, this could go into a whole sermon, but it is in this passage, don't condemn anyone. As you're going to see, Jesus breaks that down a little bit further in verses 3 to 5. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the log in your own eye? It's me. I have to be a little bit humorous, but this passage is very serious. I never looked that cute, my brother says. Again, debatable. He had the log in his eye on that time, and I was, no. But no, seriously, people, this is what Jesus says. Take the log out of your own eye so you can see the speck of sawdust. I look at that, and a speck is something small, but he wants to reiterate sawdust. That is very small. So before you try to help somebody with how you feel they should correct their lives or their problem, look at yourself first. Examine your heart. Examine yourself. Now, one way to do that is to ask God for help. He says in the next following verses, from all the way from 7 to 12, ask, and thou shalt be given. Seek, and thou shalt find. Knock, and the door shall be opened. Bring it to God. Ask him to reveal that log, that plank that's in your eye, the stumbling block, that sin that's in your life that's preventing you from getting closer to God. And then allow him to show you the speck in your brother's eye. There might not be a speck there at all after you pray to him. But if there is, and it's cleared in yours, you'll know you will not be condemning that person. You'll be helping that person. You'll be coming alongside your brother or sister to help them, to love them. We need to do this daily. This is not a prayer that should be done once. Lord, make me holy, make me right, let me take this plank out of my eye. This is a day-to-day process. It says renew your mind daily. This is why. Lord, what am I doing today that is in the way for me to hear from you, to get closer to you? Lord, what is on my heart for my brother or sister today? Is that from you? Is there something I need in my life to remove so I can walk alongside them and help them with your love and your compassion? Further down, he talks about people, prophets. It says, watch out for false prophets in verse 15. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. I had help with these slides, but I did approve all of them, so I will take ownership for them. I want to give you a visualization. People who speak into your lives, and that's the way I want to put it. It says here prophets. Prophets are what? Pastors, teachers, prophets. I mean, there are people that speak into your lives. So you have to be on guard. You need to judge yourself. Now listen to the words, what I mean, say judge, not condemning. Use your discernment that God gives you, your wisdom, on how to find out who are those wolves in sheep's clothing. But you need to decide for yourselves. Yes, that's right. I'm a pastor. I'm up here preaching. That means you need to listen to my words and hear them for yourselves and judge yourself carefully. Are these words right? Are they from God? I am not above reproach. I'm not above anything. You need to be wise and look for false prophets. For anyone who's speaking to your lives, your brothers and sisters among yourselves, that does not mean, let's go back to the thing, do not judge and condemn them. Look at yourself first. Get the plank out of your eye. Because if someone's trying to help you, how many times? I know I have. You kind of come and help me, and I'm like, please. You have no idea what you're saying. I know it. You know what? He's trying to help me, and you know, maybe He went to God before that and took the plank out of his eye. I still had a plank. That sawdust that he sees in my eye, big fat plank. So this goes both ways. So judge for yourselves what is right. So as I'm speaking here to you today, you need to take these words and judge if they're right. And I pray that you will do that. And then when you hear these words, and if they are right, that you will take them to heart. Now, your next question is probably, how do we judge these things? How do we see if this person is right? If he's speaking the right words? Well, Jesus tells us in verses 16 to 20, by their fruits you will recognize them. Those are sweet-looking fruits, aren't they? So by their fruits, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but every bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Let's look at that a little bit closer. If we're living a good life, we call ourselves Christians, we go to church, we do these things, what fruits are we bearing? We have to look at our own lives, not just as the person that's speaking into your life. But for now, you should look at my life, or your teacher, your Sunday school teacher, or your brother or sister is coming to you to try to give you a word. Look at their fruits. They got good fruits. It'd be wise for you to listen. Now, I know some of you are probably saying, well, I'm a Christian. I come to church on Sundays. Matter of fact, I come to church on Wednesdays and pray or go to a Bible study. I've accepted Christ 10 years ago. I'm a good person. I give to the homeless. I give my tithing check. I want to ask you this. First, I want to tell you this. Don't be deceived. You need to look at your fruit that you're bearing. Because I was in this church, in these pews that you were sitting in over 10 years ago, being deceived, like maybe some of you are. I sat there and said, I accepted the Lord. I prayed the sinner's prayer. Came to church, had my Bible. I even brought it to church with me. I look good. I got my Bible. I'm a Christian. And I really felt that I was a Christian. I felt I loved the Lord. I was like, yeah. I want to come serve. I'm worshiping God. I'm holy is his name. Oh, this is good. I have a good feeling. This is great. I'm here. But then I leave church, and I put that Bible down, which, to tell you the truth, I never opened, except maybe when the pastor said, open the read with me. But I was listening to the devil, who loves to take a truth and twist it just a little bit. And he deceived me to think that just because I said a prayer, I was saved. So I want you to look at my life, to look at your life, mostly to look at your lives and to see what fruits you were bearing. Because I was bearing fruit. They were bad fruit. A little further down, if I was down in town, like, you know, I hang out in the cafe, one of the places, so the waitresses and waiters and attendants there, they see me, they get to know me, they hear my conversation. So let's take a picture of 10 years ago. I'm hanging out, I'm talking. Did they hear me share God's word to anybody? Talk about Jesus Christ. What words did they hear out of my life? Did they see Jesus in me? The answer is a flat no. Now, I brought up Jesus only if somebody would have said something and I had to defend Jesus. That's probably about the only time I would talk about Jesus. And then you guys know I like to talk, so when it was there, that's about all I did. Things have changed in the last few years of my life. Some, maybe most of you know me and know that God has radically changed my life. I guess there's no other easier way to say that. So I speak and share my faith with anyone who wants to listen. But if I'm not speaking about Jesus, I believe they can see Jesus in me from my actions to others. And I do fall and stumble sometimes, and I have to apologize because I'm not perfect. This is why it's every day. You ask, you seek, you knock. Because we do stumble. I might say an angry word out in public to somebody, Lord forbid that, and someone doesn't know me, sees that, they won't see Christ in me. They don't see Christ in me, or they don't see Christ in you, why would they want Christ? Right? They want to see that good fruit. You see that good fruit that's in the picture there. It's laying on the table there. You might not be hungry right now, but as you look at that fruit, start to water it a little bit. Like, that's some good fruit. You know what? I didn't realize I am hungry, and I want a piece of that fruit. Right? That is what our lives should be like, bearing good fruit that others would see and would want and hunger after. Now, in verse 13 and verse 14, Jesus is going to explain to us why this is so important. He says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it. I want to tell you, Jesus Christ is the gate to life. We should examine our lives and see what kind of fruit we bear to help us determine what path we are on. There's only two paths, people, heaven or hell. The path to heaven is through Jesus Christ. He's the only way, and he's the small gate. And that path is narrow. There's a much wider path that most people are on. It's wide. And people wind up following other people for many different reasons. And that path leads to hell. So I want to urge you to examine your fruits, to examine your life and see what path you are on. I was in the bank Tuesday making deposits like I normally do. I got talking to a new teller that was there. I met her, I think, twice. And somehow we got on the conversation of religion. Don't know why. And she started telling me, well, you know, if you're good, that's all that really matters. And I was like, whoa, I don't believe that. Whose good are we talking about? Your good, my good, or God's good? I think there are three different types. I said, I believe in God, and I shared my faith to her. Now I'd love to tell you she came to Christ and right there in the bank, but no. But I tell you what, I must have been talking for about 10 minutes. There were other tellers that stopped. The phones were ringing, and they weren't answering. God gave me a moment. Now those people have a choice to make and something to think about. I can't change your hearts or your minds. I wish I could. Trust me, it breaks my heart. I want to tell you, you need Christ. You need him now. But I can't. That's God's job. He's going to change your hearts. I can't. What I can do is what he's told me to do, and that's bring the word to you, the good news that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. He loves us. Our God loves us so much, he came to earth himself to die on the cross for our sins. And he was, you know, it's not the nails and the beatings that save you. It's Jesus who took your sins upon him. That's what saves us. It's not the sinner's prayer. It says, whoever believes in me shall inherit eternal life. Belief is key to this. My heart, as I tell you, I have emotions in my heart, and that's hard for me to deal with. I really want to yell at you and come at you, and I know that's not the right way to do it. But it's not that. It's that I don't know how to deal with the emotions that are in my heart at now looking at you. You are my family, people. I have feelings for people out in the street that I want them to know Christ like I've never had before. But you are my family. You're the people I worship with, I serve with, I live with. And that are emotions that are hard for me to deal with and hard for me to give into you in the proper way, the way of with love that God does. He loves us so much, he sent his only son for us. And I have to remember that. So on a daily basis, and for me actually probably hourly, I have to ask for God to soften my heart and to help me with my words. But I can't stress it enough to you that there are only two paths, and we need to be on the right path. Therefore, you have to hear the words that I'm saying to you. I urge you, please, listen to what Jesus Christ has to say even more. But at the moment, I'm sharing you his words. We may live a life that we think is good, but is it Christ-like? I met a man the other day this week, too. I was with a friend, and we started just talking about what I'm doing, what I'm going to preach on. Started talking. I'm like, I'm struggling. I'm having this and that. Next thing you know is, after he left, a man that was a few seats over prompted to tell me how good he was, that he was brought up in the Catholic Church, and he did all these things. And the guy had a great story. He had a heart, helping his ex-wife through things, his brothers, his parents, his mother's got Alzheimer's, and he's struggling, his older brother's not helping out. I mean, my heart was breaking for this man. But at the same time, I could see the fruit he was bearing, and I asked him the question, the same question I asked before, what good are you judging by? Now, he got that a lot faster than the lady I did before. I said, listen, we may call ourselves a good Christian. As I told you, I was deceived here before. So I explained to him the passage today. It's kind of actually how I got the passage. I was talking to him. I love how the Lord works. But you know, he went away with something really to think about on his heart. I was able to pray with him. He thanked me for that. I asked God to encourage him, but most importantly, even though my heart was breaking for his story, I was praying for his soul more than anything else, and I told him that. Because he might be struggling, but you know what? God will guide him through that, will be his strength if he asks him for it. If you ask God, he will guide you through these things. If your motives are right, he will guide you through that. But more importantly is his soul, your soul. So I want to, in closing, wrap up what I've been talking about. So maybe now this part you'll actually understand what's coming out of my head. I I have so much in my mind to tell you, sometimes it comes out all jumbled. But I want you to know I love you all so much. I'm not condemning any of you. I don't know where you are. That's between you and God. All I am saying to you today is Martin says it the best, let's put the mirror up. Let's look at our souls. Let's look at the fruits that we are bearing. And you be the judge of yourself. But judge what fruits you're bearing. Judge what path you're on. Because ultimately, God is the only one who has the authority to judge your eternity, your salvation. I want you to think about this. Francis Chan, he gives an illustration. I love it. He has a rope. I want you to imagine this rope. Here's the beginning of the rope. First 4 inches are taped up in red, and then the rope goes on. It's for eternity. You cannot see the end of this rope. This represents our lives. We were created. We were beginning. We are eternal beings. We live for eternity, people. That red part is your time here on earth. We have this long rope of eternity of our lives. Yet for most of us, we're only focused on that 4 inches. I want to urge you and implore you, let's look at the whole of our lives, our eternity. Where is that rope going? Because there is only two roads. It's on one of them. You need to decide which one that's on and decide if you want to be there. Then it says, you need to build your faith on Christ, on the rock, as it says in the last part of the passage in 24. When you hear these words of mine, put them into practice, is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. So take these words that God has and put them into practice. Be wise and look at your life. Here's one way to do this in my synopsis of our reading today. Do not judge one another with condemnation. Examine ourselves before we try to help or correct somebody else. Look for the fruits of those who try to speak into your lives. And I want to add, look at the fruits that you are producing. Look for what kind of fruits you are bearing, as I just said. That's going to be key to know how you're living out your life today. Decide what path you are on, because you could be on the right path or been on the right path and producing bad fruits because you're not doing something. You're having a bad day. So there is a difference. But decide what path you are on and ask, is this the right path? And do I want to be here? And then walk it out. Put it into practice. And do all this in prayer. Each one of those steps, pray to God. Lord, help me. I feel like I should judge my brother today because of this. Lord, is that correct? Is my heart right? Lord, am I on the right path? Lord, what fruits am I bearing today? Lord, help me bear good fruits. So we're going to put this in practice and put it in prayer. Today we're going to have a baptism. This represents a person's faith in Christ who wants to speak out bold and who wants to put into action. So I want to talk to you in the last minute I have here to say, if you have not received Christ in your heart, if you've been deciding or you don't know, I urge you today to do that. Don't wait. Do it right now. Do not wait until later tonight or tomorrow. Let me think about it a little bit more. If something's urging you to do that, that's the Holy Spirit. Accept Christ in your heart, because we don't know where tomorrow is going to lead. We don't even know where we'll be tonight. If you are a Christian who would call yourself a Christian, whether you're a new Christian or you're a Christian for centuries, it doesn't matter. Well, I got four generations of people here in our church right now, in my family. That's amazing. And there's actually a fifth, unfortunately, she can't be here. My grandmother. Oops, I'm old. Holy cow. Let's skip that part. But I want to tell you, just because you think you go to church and you think you are saved and you're hearing things that, oh, I might not be doing, or I'm looking at my fruits that are not there, and you're getting this feeling in your stomach, ask God. And I want to tell you now to make that decision to be active. And I want, this is not a passive thing, people. This is the world. We're in a war. There's a spiritual war out there, whether you want to believe it or not. There's a spiritual war for your soul. So I don't want you to sit there and just say, okay, I'll accept Christ, or I'm going to live it out. I want you to stand. I want you to stand right here now. If you're going to take a stand for Christ, no matter where you are, I don't care if you've been a Christian for 50 years, this does not mean you haven't been walking out, you don't bear good fruit. I want you to stand right now. I don't want you to be passive. If you want to say right now, I am a Christian, and I want to live it out, I have been living it out, stand right now. No, get up. If that's what you want, get up out of your pews. This is not a passive thing, people. I love you, and because of that love, I want to share you. I want you to stand. I want you to say, I love Jesus Christ with all my heart and all my might. I will follow him. I will serve him. I will read the word. I will put it to action and put it into my heart. Now, I want you to look around and look at everyone that's standing here today. And I want you to help each other because we can do this together. Ultimately, the one we have to rely on is Jesus Christ. But we are also called to help each other here. We're going to baptize my nephew. I am so honored and privileged to do this, to see a life change in his life. If you feel that you want to be baptized, this is your time. If you've never been baptized before, we do what's called a spontaneous baptism. If you want to make that decision today, we have swim trunks for you, t-shirts, towels. Don't worry about it. I want you to step out in action and say, if this is the day, do it. Don't wait. This is another outward appearance, an outward approach to say, I am a Christian and I want to follow Christ. So I want you to take that action. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for everyone here who is standing. I pray for everyone who's not standing. We know that you love all of us the same. Lord, I ask that you will guide and stir each one of our hearts and our souls to live this out daily, to love each other without condemnation. Bless everyone here today, Lord, and encourage them with your love and your compassion. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.